The letter pages, not surprisingly, have been full of all things heat and drought this week, so bear with us. Steve Hewitt from Great Yarmouth, writing on the 31st of July, thinks we should be making use of seawater. As we are now into our third heatwave of this summer, and we have still got August to come, I still cannot understand why water companies, encouraged by the government, have still not started plans for desalination. We are an island, meaning surrounded by water. So why is this water not being used? I can only assume that the cost and the welfare of their shareholders stop them.
Paul Milner from Sheringham thinks we should build more reservoirs. It beggars belief to hear Anglian Water commiserating with its customers about the hosepipe ban, adding they are on the case fixing pipe leaks. Why so? Nationally, the water utilities lose over 1 trillion litres of water each year through leaking pipes, about 20% of Britain's water supply. All is not lost, however, since Met Office data confirms Britain has become steadily wetter, albeit our rainfall is more extreme. The rain has not gone away, it just arrives in a different way. All we need now is for the water utilities to get their act together, fix the leaks and build more reservoirs. No ifs, no buts. Water is essential to life. So maybe if Mr. Burnham can tear himself away from his Mancunian number 10, he might get stuck into something relevant to everyone. Mandate for new reservoirs to be built and find water utility bosses every week that they fail to fix identified water leaks.
Joe Jones from Norwich asks, is a drought minister needed? Some of your readers may remember the prolonged and historic drought of 1976, which started in April that year. The driest and hottest summer in 200 years. There were hosepipe bans, and in certain areas, some people had to use standpipes for their water supply. Dennis Howell, Labour Party, was appointed Minister for Drought on August the 24th, 1976, to manage the extreme water shortages. He was charged by the then Prime Minister with the task of persuading the nation to use less water and was even ordered by Number 10 to do a rain dance on behalf of the nation. If he did, it clearly worked, as heavy rains arrived just days after his appointment, which resulted in widespread flooding. His title was subsequently changed to Minister of Floods instead. He also acquired the nickname Minister for Rain. Perhaps Mr. Burnham could appoint a Minister for Drought now to trigger the rains.
John Fernihau from Shopham comments on flooding signs. As I drive around South Norfolk, I see a proliferation of road signs, mostly flood. These signs have been about for some considerable time. Do highways know something that we don't?
Two letters now not connected to the drought. Phew. Willem Buttinger of Norwich is giving three cheers for the government's education changes. I have waited a lifetime for common sense to return to the education debate. Over the past 50 years, almost every conversation I have had about schooling has reached the same conclusion. We place too much emphasis on university and too little on vocational education and apprenticeships. So three cheers for Andy Burnham's call to value the hard hat as much as the mortarboard. It reflects what many ordinary people have believed for decades. I've never understood why successive governments, epitomised by Tony Blair's drive to send 50% of young people to university, treated higher education as the only worthwhile route to success. It has taken the alarming reality of around 1 million young people who are not in employment, education or training, together with the rapid advance of AI threatening many office jobs, for policymakers to recognise what so many people have long understood. Preparing young people for skilled work is not just good for the economy, it also gives them purpose, confidence, and a meaningful place in society.
Finally, Peter Franzen, OBE, from Loddon, makes a suggestion for a competition. The reach of this newspaper in print form had always extended beyond the borders of Norfolk and Suffolk, but now it is also online. It can be enjoyed worldwide. There have been a few complaints recently about the letters pages and the prolific output of some of the contributors. Of late, there have been several contributions from a reader in Billericay. Recently, another writer penned a very good letter from Karachi, Pakistan. It made interesting, if not local, reading about world economics. I particularly enjoyed the payoff line from Yumnam Zahid Ali. When will the world admit that every bomb creates two explosions, one in the sand and one in the bank? Perhaps the newspaper could run a fun competition for its furthest flung letters page contributor.